Hi, everybody. This is Michelle Madison. My co-host John and I have been podcasting since 2005, and we do tons of bonus shows every week for our main show, Video Game Outsiders. Now, Warcraft Outsiders is one of those shows, so if you want to get these shows earlier, with better sound quality, and without this annoying ad at the front from me, you can check out VideoGameOutsiders.com and go premium for $1.99 a month and get tons of shows from John and me and support us. So let's check this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Warcraft Outsiders. We are 1 week away from Shadowlands. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Michelle Madison. I play Adis Priest Shelley.
And I'm John. All right, here we are.
You're not following like the rules of our Outsider shows. You're not saying who you are and what you do, what you play. I noticed on VGO2 you stopped saying your gamer tag recently. Have we put that to rest?
John.
You're just John now. It's just casual.
There's no gamer tags anymore.
No.
That doesn't mean it. It's meaningless now.
It is. We're just numbers. So.
Yeah.
Let's see what we've been doing in the game, maybe get into some news, and part two of the zombie invasion has been going on. I know we both have been partaking in those events. John, I have one question. Where are the fucking zombies? Because
I didn't live
through the Wrath of Lich King zombie launch, and there were tons. And I feel like, you know, people kept telling me, just wait, they'll come. You know, it may not be the first week, the second week, it'll really start ramping up. Okay, well, it's the second week, we're a few days away from Shadowlands. I'm not seeing, like, any place overrun by zombies. Like, it's supposed to be, like, pure calamity in the cities. I really feel like they pussified this way too much, and
where
it's just
are they,
not fun.
What am I looking for?
Like, zombies. You shouldn't have to look for them. Like, we were told, quote, there must always be a Lich King. And if there's not a Lich King, the dead will run free, and the world will go to shit. Well, nothing's really happening. It's not a zombie invasion. It's just some shitty quest in Ice Crown, some catch-up gear, and I guess this time around, a free bag, which is the plus for me. But other than that, I've still been underwhelmed by these events. You know, they upped it this week to the bosses in Ice Crown spawn every 10 minutes instead of every 20. So that's nice for all who are trying to get that catch-up gear. But the quest lines, for the most part, even the new one, have been not that great. I did like one with the cultists and getting the disguise and all that. That was at least somewhat interesting, doing something different. But are you finding the quest fun?
No, it's a lot of busy work.
Yeah.
I think I completed everything, right? Except for the dailies.
Yeah. Do you have your full set of gear or close to it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. I bought like two pieces. I need like 10 more to get the third. So I guess I need to just go kill all those bad guys that are spawning
over
there.
Yeah, or just log on once a day and just do some quests and you'll get it. Like, I kitted out my Warlock, who's my alt, and I was able to get the gear. It was unfortunate because, like, on my Priest, I have tons of them and I have nothing to do with them because I don't need the gear. So I bought that stupid anti-doom broom, which is supposed to clean up Scourge. There's no Scourge. I don't need it. I bought it
because I was
pet.
Looking at that, and that's why I asked you. I'm like, should I buy? I was thinking about buying that because it sounded
no.
like some... And then there's also the ghost thing.
Oh, you can buy the memento now? I thought it was just a pet. The Geist.
There's something there that follows you around, it said.
Yeah, that's just a pet, I think.
I looked at it quick.
Yeah, that's different. I mean, that's okay. A battle pet. There's supposed to be a memento that drops off of the bosses. I haven't gotten that one yet. But, you know, I have been underwhelmed. Some people are liking this because they're like, what an easy way to gear out my alts. I'm like, okay, I feel like it's just all been pretty kind of low effort. But, yeah, I'm still leveling my hunter. I'm still really into it. And I think I'm like level 36 now. And I hope to get it to max before Shadowlands. And I did something funny. So, you know, I went to Wrath of the Lich King to do the time walking stuff. And then I decided to do backwards. I went back to the Blood Elf starting zone area at level 30. And I'm planning on getting from 30 to 50 out there and in the Ghostlands, just because I really have always liked that area. There's some transmog I still haven't gotten for leather. So you can kind of do it backwards, which is funny. So you really have this freedom to go to areas you never went to before at different levels and just kind of switch it up. Yeah, everything's been scaling for a while, but because of the time walking, it almost feels ass backwards because I started, you know, from what, 10 to 30 in Wrath of Lich King, and then now here I am in the starting zone areas, you know, 30 to 50, and you can kind of have the freedom if you're a veteran player to kind of go wherever you want. They do shove new players out to battle for Azeroth stuff, and they want you to go there. So we've been getting a few people in our Discord kind of asking just general information. Lord Starkiller just said, hey, second lockdown here in England. I'm thinking of playing WoW. Any advice? If not, is there a good guide of what I should be doing? And I mean, that's such an open-ended question. Like, there's really no way to answer that. We got another person, too, asking for, like, hey, anybody have any advice or whatever? It's like, My advice would be don't bump a character level one, at least until you are familiar with the game, because I feel like skipping over and just buying the expansion, bumping to 50, you really aren't learning your class, learning what, you know, how to use it.
Definitely say start from the beginning, for sure.
Yeah.
If it's the first time ever, you have to.
Yes.
And that whole new starting area really is a massive tutorial.
Yes.
So you definitely want to do that if that's where you're starting.
That's like the only solid advice I can give is like just start leveling your character and be willing to try a few different ones, but also know that you don't have all of the spells right away. They're going to give them out to you slowly and you're going to gain more and more things. And then obviously we're going to gain even more spells from 50 to 60. So just don't feel like, oh, I only have two things to do. This game sucks. You know, WoW, like we've said, is a max level MMO, and just kind of give yourself the freedom to try a few classes, because you may hate one. You may think, hey, a hunter seems cool, but get on it and be like, I'm not into this. I don't like pet management. What was I thinking? You know, so be willing to change up classes too, I think.
Yeah, and also, you know, like back in the day, you know, I had all the guides and the books and I was reading those like crazy, and that really helped me. But now, I mean, honestly, all of this is so documented so well. Like, you can Google anything and you will find something about it always. Whenever I have a question about anything, I just type in the quest name or whatever. You literally will find like five pages of breaking down every single fucking quest, even the trivial ones that you wouldn't think would have documentation. So
there's no guide, really, Lord Starkiller, that we can give you.
No.
It's just that, like, get to max level if you can. When Shadowlands comes out, you know, if you can do that before then, that would be good, because then at level 50, you can start with everybody else. And the guide will be just get out to follow the quest line, get out to Shadowlands areas, and just go through, level your class. Then there's a bunch of systems in Shadowlands that are overwhelming, even for veteran players, like legendaries and conduits and soul binds. But they're going to spoon feed them to you as you're leveling, introduce them to you. So you're going to be caught up with everybody else if you can just get to level 50 by the time it comes out. And maybe you're level 30 and you feel comfortable enough to bump by then, because you do get that free bump if you order at least the $60 version. So I would say, though, like, at least try, like, get to level 30. And if you feel comfortable, but you really want to catch up and Shadowlands is out next Monday and you're like, oh, I'm not 50, then maybe it's okay to bump. But I feel like just at least get there and get leveling. That's really the only kind of solid advice I can give. But I'm still enjoying my hunter. I hope to get them to 50 and then get them some catch-up gear, or at least the free weapon from Nathanos. That would be the one thing I recommend all to do. Like, if you don't feel like doing all the Ice Crown stuff, just kill him. You get a free 115 eye level weapon. It's kind of brainless. You do a quest, you kill him. I know you went out to fight him today and said you had a bad group and everybody was dead, right?
It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding, because I'm like, this is fucking stupid, because, like, so we're waiting for him to spawn. There's like everyone, you know, floating above, waiting for him to spawn. And it was a really cool scene, by the way, at his house. And, and like, I was digging it, like, totally, right? And so he spawns and I'm dead within like a second. And then I realized
that shouldn't happen.
I'm like, everyone's fucking dead. And then I come back and then we all probably died 3 to 4 times before it became manageable.
Okay. We have to get out of his arrows and the green goop.
Like, as long as I know, but I'm just telling you, everyone was dying.
Then everyone was shit. Because I've done it on like 10 people.
Well, then towards the end, though, like, when I respawned and I walked back from the graveyard, I thought for sure it was going to be over. And I get back there, I'm like, it's still going? And then I die again. Oh, no. I'm like, all right, I'm going to blow it this time again. I come back, it's still going. And then I see all the ghosts walking with me back to him. And So eventually, it felt like more people were showing up the longer I died, and then eventually it was manageable. But
maybe you just didn't have enough out there to start.
Well, we probably had at least 10, 15 people in the beginning. But that was kind of cool. That was probably the coolest thing of all the pre-patch or pre-expansion stuff that
I did. Did you watch the cutscene? Were you interested in it?
I did watch it. He's dead, and he doesn't care, because he knows that he's going to be in the Maw, right?
He's going to the Shadowlands with Sylvanas, his lady. Did you catch the jealousy when he was talking about she's with him? He meant the jailer.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some drama going on, and then all that crap happened.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I have to open the door and let my dog out, so keep talking about what else you did.
All right. So I did all that. I completed the 2 weeks of questline stuff. So right now I'm just looking at the dailies and that kind of shit. So But it is interesting how they, it seems like they have the freedom to kill whoever the fuck they want right now, because they have this whole, you know, all the death stuff that's going to be, you know, everyone that's dead is alive thing going on here.
It's a free pass to bring people back and just kill them.
Yeah, it's a free pass to just kill anybody, right, right now.
Yeah.
Which is why they killed him.
Yep.
So, but we didn't actually kill him, by the way.
I mean, we helped a little bit.
Yeah.
I think. And I don't know if you saw that file I want you to download in a Warcraft Outsiders, but I want to play this clip in a second here because
okay.
I was listening to Joe Rogan and all of a sudden they started talking about Warcraft. And
I heard that.
Yeah, they said it was the most addicting game. And then they said something about diapers. So it's 43 seconds long, but I think we should play it because it's kind of funny.
Okay. Were you? I don't know what your take is, but
well, I mean, let's play it first, because there was a lot of there was some other misinformation in that episode. Like they talked about the Flappy Bird guy that he took it down because he was like a good dude that didn't want people to be addicted. No, Nintendo was going to sue him. Remember? And he was getting all these notices from Nintendo.
I remember him saying he didn't want the attention, so he took it down. I remember
that. Yeah, but
that
was because Nintendo was going to sue him and
because
him
of the
not
pipes.
Yes, and him not wanting the attention wasn't him being the good guy. Like Joe made it out like he didn't want people to be addicted to the game and he felt bad. What a good guy, he could have been making money. No, Nintendo was sending him letters too. And so I think he just took it down and went underground because of that. So there's a lot of bad information in that podcast.
Yeah, okay. But the thing is, I really do remember
him saying about it on the show.
Him saying that he didn't like the pressure and attention it was giving him.
Right. And we said, ha ha ha, yeah, because Nintendo's been sending you messages. Like you can look it up now. It says that Nintendo gave him like a couple of notices.
Well, he used like their pipes, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I remember
right.
Yeah.
As addictive as. Apparently, World of Warcraft, is that one of the things that you were saying is the most addictive game?
Yeah, I mean, it's been labeled the most addictive experience we can have or we have had that doesn't involve a substance. And
really?
Based on the numbers, based on just the numbers of players, it's not at its peak anymore. It's been eclipsed by some other experiences. But at its peak, I mean, it had tens of millions of users and they were playing for hours and hours and hours a day. People just foregoing sleep to play in the middle of the night all day. Sometimes, you know, there are stories of people who played so much that they would sit in diapers because they didn't want to have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
And just incredibly powerful stuff. Yeah.
Now, you see how he said it's been labeled the most addictive experience outside of drugs? Okay, what scientific data labeled it that? Was that just a passing comment that somebody made on YouTube or did some person? What does that mean, it's been labeled? You know, it was just kind of like they were trying to sensationalize it, I think, a little bit. It's no more addictive, I feel like, than the popularity of Fortnite or something like that or other games in general. And I feel like...
Well, he did go on to say that Fortnite was the more popular...
Well, he said this. He actually said he doesn't think Fortnite eclipsed it, that WoW was more of a movement in gaming in general. Yeah. But they did bring that game up. It's just other experiences. But I feel like it was kind of like just a lot of bad information in that episode with a couple of different gaming topics, including the Flappy Bird thing, like we said. But have you ever put on a diaper? is what I wanted to ask you.
No, I didn't.
Can't say that I
but
have
he did
either.
Talk about that soccer player who was addicted to WoW.
Mm-hmm.
He was like an athlete and he gained like 40 pounds in like 5 weeks. And he was playing with, you know, people in his guild were all around the world. And so he always wanted to play with them at odd times and stuff. And he slept like an hour a day.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really don't know what the point of that episode was. I actually stopped it because I was getting bored of it. Like, I don't even know what the point was of that episode.
They're making it seem like WoW is so dangerous. And that's like a misconception I hear from a lot of people. Like, I'd play WoW if I didn't have a job or, you know, I'd play WoW if I wanted my life to go away. But it doesn't have to be played that way. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not the most fun when you play it that way. Like, if you've had like really addictive sessions of like, you know, months of playing with people, it's fun. But you don't have to play it that way. You're an example
Michelle,
of that, right?
This conversation is... one that would have been had 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gaming is just more mainstream and there's way more options. And this is an old conversation, in my opinion.
I think MMOs are unique with the addiction factor. There's never ending things to do. Like you can only play so much Call of Duty, you know, and WoW, there's a list of achievements that you could never finish.
I
know some people
have. I look
have,
at my nephews with Fortnite and I every time I see them, it's all they talk about and do and play.
Sure,
and
I'm not saying gaming isn't a hobby. I just feel like, you know, there's no doubt that generally certain types gravitate towards MMOs. And these couple of examples they're pulling up of people using diapers, though, like people have this idea that that's like the only way to play WoW and it's going to suck your life away because it's a drug. Like, I just feel like that's just like such a misconception, and they were trying to sensationalize it. So I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about the whole conversation. Like you said, I ended up turning it off a little bit later, too, because it was just like, I don't know what they're getting at, but
yeah, I was bored of it. I really don't know what the point of it was.
Like, I don't know either. I don't think the show's been that good lately. So did you watch the new CGI trailer that we got, Beyond the Veil? Okay.
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Okay. Well, I linked it to you and said to watch it. So maybe you should play it now as we maybe talk about it as hosts of a podcast about Warcraft. So
Just tell me about it.
No, I think you should maybe watch it. You know, you're supposed to be interested in the game and, you know, talking to other people about the game.
Okay.
So there's four different covenants. We know that. We get a look at all of them.
They have a very inconsistent style with these things they release.
Well, I mean, these are CGI. So
there's A teams and B teams and C teams.
Their CGI stuff is all pretty consistent and good.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is we got a look at that CGI jailer from the cover of the PC Gamer magazine, which we knew once we saw him that he would be in a CGI cinematic. Also, tons of these images are from my art book. So a lot of concept art from the art book that I got with the collector's edition.
Seeing
all of these people, it's still shots from this or, you know, that. But they go through the different four covenants. In the beginning, it's like every soul has a place, you know, Bastion saying that. And at the end, the jailer's like, yeah, every soul has a place, like where I'm going to basically kill you. Like, they try to show this dichotomy between like the pure good and the pure evil and tie it together that way. Now, some people like this because they think it feels more like a classic World of Warcraft cinematic going from perspective to perspective, like with the Tauren to the Dwarf Hunter and all that. I disagree. I felt like it was sort of discombobbled and disjointed. I mean, I'm not saying visually it was unappealing because I really like the Revendreth one. I think that, I mean, you should at least watch that because you plan on going to that covenant. I like Lord Sire Denathrius. He looks really cool. He's just tossing people into the maw after they've been used up.
Yeah, I'm in there right now. That's where I'm watching right now.
Yeah, that looked actually...
He just tossed a guy off the balcony.
Yeah, the ending scene with the jailer all tied up. I mean, I think what they're setting up for is Sylvanas is going to release him. And then he's going to grant her power.
And he's her love interest?
I don't think so. I don't know.
No?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, I don't want to get into that. It's kind of awkward.
Why is it awkward?
Well, I don't think it's like a love interest thing. I think it's like a power thing. She's using him to get power. He's using her to get what he wants. So I don't really think they're having like a crush on each other. I mean, this is fucking Sweet Valley High. But I don't know. I feel like it just, they could have tied it together a little more. I don't mind seeing the different covenants. I think that's important. But I would have much rather seen just some sort of story that maybe was joined them all together. Like,
yeah,
a
I think the
one
point
narrator.
Of this was to show the different covenants.
Yes.
That's it. The
yep.
end.
Yep.
But the style and the world is
awesome.
Is off the charts.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like,
except
like,
for the Winter Queen's face. It looks like a deep fake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't look right. Some people were saying she looked like Nicolas Cage. I don't know. So it just, her face didn't fit everything else. But other than that, I love how it looked, and especially the Revendreth stuff, of course. So I recommend watching this at least. But you know what? Like, I don't know. The best cinematic CGI stuff for me were the ones from Warcraft 2 with, you know, the plague being talked about with King Tyrannus and all that. But then as far as like Warcraft launches, I feel like the Wrath of the Lich King one is still way cooler. It was like one story, one thing. It was cool. But, you know, people really like this one. I don't think the downvotes are that bad on it, but I think I can understand, like I said, the other perspective. Let me see. 3K down, 45K up. So people like it. But yeah, for me, I just wish they tied it together a little more. But you guys may want to check that out as well. So one thing I did want to talk to you about, John, is WoWhead has released a guide for the best covenants, the best legendaries, the best soul binds and conduits and all that for each spec. And I started to take a look at Dispriest and Affliction Warlock and some of my other alts just to kind of get an idea about maybe what covenant I'd be going, but which soul binds and which legendary to craft first. And I kind of was getting a little excited just kind of going through and looking through all the stuff, looking at all the options and picking my first legendary. I think it's called Twins of the Sun Priestess. So it's kind of fun to go in and kind of know the first legendary you're going to craft at least, because I think you can do it within 2 or 3 weeks. So we're going to be crafting legendaries awfully early. And it may be a good idea to kind of think about the first one you want to make and which level of the legendary you want to make, because there's multiple legendary levels depending on how much currency you use to make it, which just takes time to get from Torghast. So there's so many systems here that it is one of those games now where before you commit to that covenant or commit to that legendary or commit to something, maybe just do a little research first.
But if okay, so they've gone through here and they said if you are a warlock, then mm-hmm. this what was the affliction warlock was who was it that was best?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. If you're a mythic raider or if you're a mythic dungeoner or if you're okay. a PvPer or if you're just questing, like they kind of broke it down for a couple of different activities because like for me as a Dis Priest, like for raiding, Revendreth is better, but for mythic five mans, then Kyrian is better. And I plan on doing five mans and I like Kyrian anyway, so I'm kind of happy with that. So Affliction Warlock, let me see if they broke it down for you. Raiding, general questing, and mythic plus, they go through three things and they show you the talents, they show you covenant abilities. Right now what's happening is Kyrian was a lot for the best for a lot of people because of Pelagos, one of the Soulbinds, who had a really good conduit, but they just nerfed that conduit to the ground. So I'm not sure if that could change. Right now they're saying that he is still the best Soulbind for warlocks. So I think it might be Kyrian for you as well, but things are going to change. I would maybe check these guides later today to see if they've been edited because they really changed him from versatility to crit or something like that. Or I don't know which stat, but they just changed him up a bit. So mm-hmm. it's a constantly moving target until the game launches because there's so much balance.
But even
going on.
After they could they weaken it or
yeah
or
they could
nerf it after the fact
yeah
too,
which
though,
is
right?
why some people aren't wanting to pick. You know, they're like, I'm gonna wait for the day before the raid to pick my covenant. It's like, well, then you won't have any renown, and you need the renown with the covenant, which is like their new version of reputation or a pass, like we said. And mm-hmm. you need that to be able to progress through. So they kind of have people in a tight situation. Now, will it impact the average player, even the average heroic raider? Probably not. Because in a heroic raid, there's so many more ways to make up for the lacking that the character has. Play better, gear better, know the fight better. This will really impact mostly mythic raiders. But that doesn't mean it's not going to impact heroic raiders or people who do mythic dungeons or anything like that. Like, you are potentially, if you build your character out wrong, you're going to be worse. And if you happen to pick the wrong covenant that they nerf, you're probably going to be worse. Will you not be able to play the game? No. You know, but people are concerned and I don't blame them. I think people are trying to figure out the best thing to do. And we just don't really maybe know that yet until they sort of the game launches and then anything could happen. So check out Wowhead if you want to go through their guides, because I think they're pretty interesting. Because like I said, there's so many things this time around. Legendaries.
This
conduits,
is kind of overwhelming,
Soulbind.
To be honest, it is. Looking at all this
It is
shit.
Overwhelming. Like,
yeah.
Yep. And that kind of leads me into the conversation I want to get into now. One of the class designers left, Kalecki. He's been there for a while. The interesting thing is he left and he also made a video about why he left. And he's basically saying a lot of the same things a lot of the YouTubers have been saying, a lot of the stuff I've been saying, that he said that he's been feeling a general sense of dissatisfaction. When Classic came out, he said that there was a clear path of what it was and some mm-hmm. clear MMO game design pillars. He says that the current version of Warcraft is muddled. The pillars are there, but they're not really formed. They're there to a lesser degree. He said that there are too many progression
Chefs?
Systems.
Oh.
No, too many progression systems. Yeah. The WoW design spends too much time on them versus core systems, okay? And other features that only an MMO can specialize in. So to his point, he revealed that developers on Modern WoW have conflicting visions for the game, and it's going to be a challenge. Now, he is saying all this stuff that I've been like harping on for a really long time, that you need to get the core systems right, something that makes an MMO unique, like the permanence and things like that, the core gameplay that continues throughout all the expansions. Instead, it seems like they are focused, they are hell-bent on these expansion-wide systems that they only want, you know, per system or whatever, and they're spending so much time in development there. And he wants them to get back to the core basics of what makes an MMO great, what made Classic great, and he's running into probably, you know, some conflict there, and he can't get done what he wants to get done. He said that WoW and Blizzard will preserve the IP. It's very strong. He's looking forward to Shadowlands. He knows millions of players will enjoy it, but he doesn't have a new place of employment currently lined up, but this is why he left. He felt very strongly that the whole philosophy of Warcraft is just lost. And, you know, I
yeah,
really agree with this.
Yeah, he's saying here that in Classic, the guild yep. was the big deal, right, yep. to create cohesion.
Yep.
But then WoW started emphasizing more on the solo experience as time yep. went on.
Yep.
And that socialization element was completely lost.
Yep.
And it's the story. In Classic, players created their own narratives and drama, injecting a human element into the world. And then basically they decided to what? Say, okay, we're going to actually tell you what's going on.
Well, they'll tell you. They decided to let everything be a portal, which we just talked about today because you were taking portals around to the Argent tournament grounds, right? Everything's a portal. Everything is instant. Everything can be queued up for. Everything is get a group. You don't need a guild. You know, I'll do everything is just sort of the emphasis is on getting casual people to play the game. You know, it's not a grind. It's just a time gate. And they just, they have this philosophy now that like their core aspects of gameplay.
But gaming's changed too, though. I mean, to be fair, right?
To be fair, every person who plays this game and talks about it, like every popular YouTuber and streamer has been saying this. And now developers are coming out and saying it too.
Because they know better, though. But like the people who come in from day, you know, day one, if Classic was to come out today and didn't have
Classic.
A match... I'm just saying, if Classic were to come out today and didn't have a matchmaking function or any of those kind of modern things, people would go, what? I have to sit here and try to find people to go into this dungeon? And talk to them and chat with them.
But like you said, it's unique to an MMO that's how you get into a guild and have a group and have these fun experiences.
Sure, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here because like games just don't do that anymore. You know,
I mean, we had some group finder stuff in Wrath of Lich King. I don't think the game died there. I feel like it's more about these systems like Azerite. And like they said they were going to learn from it. They said they were going to stop with the borrowed power a bit. And now look at all these systems. Look at you, someone who's been playing for 15 years.
I know.
You're looking at WoWhead. You're going, what?
Conduits, I really was
soul
looking
binds,
at that
legendary.
And going, what?
What am I doing
I was starting
here?
To shut down as I was scrolling through it. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just going to just follow the quest line and not worry about this shit.
So, I mean, they want new things to slap on the box, which we've been talking about for a while. And, you know, the people that have this philosophy seem to be leaving. People are jumping ship. They're like, okay.
Right.
And they're, you know, so the new people coming along are just going to go along with this philosophy. So, I mean... It may spell disaster for the game at some point, but like I said, WoW has nostalgia, and people are going to keep playing even if it sucks, which is interesting. They also released another short story. This one is called We Ride Forth, and it is based upon... It looks a little better than the last one, I think. So Death Knights and the Scourge, and you can read it on their website. It's by Robert Brooks. I wish they would do more audio drama stuff. I was expecting an audio drama before Shadowlands. They didn't do one this time around. They were really cool in the past. They had a couple of YouTube videos and they had a story and sound effects. And I can't be motivated to go read some PDF, but this one does involve Sylvanas and some good lore. So I may have to check this one out. Bolvar is there. And, you know, Bolvar has been sort of the guy on the cover outside of like the jailer. What do you think of him? Do you even know who he is? I want to ask you as someone who doesn't really pay attention. Do you know who Bolvar is?
No, let me see a picture of him.
Okay. Don't look it up.
What?
So he was the Lich King. Because don't you remember the cinematic where Sylvanas saw him, fought him, and took his helmet off and ripped it in half?
Yes,
you don't
remember
that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, of course.
So he was the Lich King that sort of took over when we killed Arthas. And now he's sort of like the guy in the box along with the jailer. And people have said like it's too confusing because they're both bald.
I saw somebody
say they're both bald and look strange. This isn't a good narrative to sell new players. Like, which is the baddie on the box? You know, one's a good guy, one's a bad guy. But it's just been funny. I just was curious if like you even knew who he was or...
No.
Okay. So that cinematic didn't do a good job of explaining that?
Well, now that you said the cinematic and she broke his helmet, yeah, that guy.
Okay. So the helmet breaking guy. Yeah. But I don't know. He's sort of like the guy in the box art. And I just feel like they haven't done enough to introduce him in Battle for Azeroth. They sort of pulled him out of nowhere again. Like he was just there. He was idle for all those years. Like you knew about him if you played in the past, but you didn't know about him if you just started playing in Wrath, right? So... I think, like, you're a perfect example. Like, even somebody who watches cinematic, you have no connection to this guy.
No, I don't.
And you're seeing him on every art, and you're like, who is this? Another bald dude? What's going on? It's confusing.
You know, it's funny you said that, because I remember, like, watching that cinematic, and then there was the jailer and him, and I thought it was the same guy.
Yeah, exactly. So some people are thinking that, because they're just like, oh, well, he's in a different form. Like, he Sylvanas killed him here, and then he went to the Shadowlands and got evil, and now he's got spikes on his neck. And, you know, that first, like, art that we saw of the jailer a long time ago that was concept art, where he looked like he had, like, a crown and long waving hair. Like, I thought that might have been, like, a better direction to go. I don't know if you probably don't remember it, but it was the first time we saw him at BlizzCon, and I feel like it's too much like for new people that don't get it, that aren't following it. It kind of looks like, oh, that's another like version of the same dude's evil version. It's good guy, bad guy. I don't know. I just feel like sort of confusing, but he did look cool in the CGI trailer. He doesn't look cool in game. There's like two versions of him. It's one, he looks like a weird creeper, and the other one, he's like, you know, a badass Palpatine dude. So yeah, that's that.
Yeah. The magazine cover, he looks way badass. Like you said, like he looks like Palpatine, but
Star Wars.
I'm looking
shit.
at Yeah, and I'm looking at the renders of his character model, and he doesn't look good. Like a mean elf or something. I don't know.
I don't know what he is. Is he an orc? I don't know. His ears are like half bitten. Whoever did like the translation of him in game, I just don't think hit the mark. He just looks a little goofy. There's some funny pictures of him with like his lips all pierced and stuff. And people are like, what is this? He looks like some cartoon character. I forget the name of like this bald cartoon character. But the CGI version is very, very cool. So hopefully we'll see more of that. I would like to see the CGI trailer for Sylvanas freeing him. Maybe that will happen because her new model is actually really cool. And speaking of models, new purple eye color customization option just popped up for Blood Elves and Void Elves in an undocumented change. Is this a mistake or did they forget to add it? I don't know. But purple kind of makes you look like an albino rabbit. I don't know. I don't think I would rock this. Maybe on a warlock if you had like a purple set or a shadow priest or something, but I think it looks kind of creepy. But it's weird that they're just adding some sort of customization in now. Like they're still making changes this late in the game.
I typed in Jailer WoW and went to images.
Okay.
And our album art comes up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
For Warcraft Outsiders?
Yeah.
Right on Google?
On podtoppin.se.
That's funny. We must have mentioned him or something.
Yeah, it's probably in the description.
Yeah. So Curseforge transition to Overwolf has been delayed. Add-ons can be updated until November 30th. There's been some drama going on
this
there.
This is like a German podcasting site.
Really?
Für Avinst of Warcraft Outsiders, World of Warcraft podcast.
Is it just our description or did they like review it or something?
No, it's not a review. It's
the
just
feed.
It's sucking the feed from somewhere.
Well, if we have any German listeners, hello.
Are you using Pod Toppin?
So stupid. But yeah, I mean,
what is .se though? What is that? Oh, that's Swedish. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Either way,
I'm sorry.
It's funny that
is that more Swedish? How do you
Swedish? Don't get into your salted cod discussion. We already went through that on VGO with Assassin's Creed Valhalla. But no, before we get out of here this week, because like we say, this is our last show before the launch, which is the 23rd in North America.
So when am I playing this? Is it Monday night?
You, it's 6 o'clock. For me, it's 3 o'clock Pacific on Monday. And for Europe, I believe it's Tuesday. And
6 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern time on Monday.
That's right. So
I have to go get the Domino's at round 5.
No, get a delivery. You can't.
I'm outside of
Well, then you're going to have to find a place that delivers. You have to be on in the queue, ready to get on.
Well, I have like 5 pizza places that would deliver, but yeah, not Domino's.
Well, John, you have to be on in the queue.
I wanted cheap pizza, mass bar.
Okay, so last time for Classic, I only got in when a bunch of people didn't because you have to try to get on early and get in the queue early. So try to get on like when the servers pop up early and then maybe go get it after you're like 3,000 in queue because there will be queues on busy servers. And you can't just go
get
your
the
Domino's
local pizza.
Yeah, I don't think that's a time to take a risk. So,
all right, I'll pick the worst pizza place in town that we never order from, and I'll get
it from
there.
How about like something that's tasty? You don't want good food?
I want no, I don't. I want cheap food is what I want. I want like just junk food.
Isn't
like fast
all pizza
food.
Cheap? Yeah, I guess.
Well, there's some the pizza places we go to we consider are the better ones, you know.
Yeah, but you want some just chain, I think.
I want like college pizza, you know, like that.
Okay.
That's what I want. That
are you gonna?
Papa
what
John's.
Other ways are you gonna relive like your college days? Are you gonna?
I remember visiting my friend at ISU, and they had Papa John's, which I never had. And we were ordering that constantly, and it came with little butter sauce that you poured on it.
Yeah, oh Papa John's God. Comes with that and the red pepper flakes and stuff.
Yeah,
and
then I went back
cheese.
There like 3 months later to visit him, and I swear to God, he looked like a different person because he had gained like 40 pounds in like
in
they
like call it the freshman
months.
10. Luckily, I didn't gain weight in college, but because I think it's because people drink, and I didn't drink. So I think it's as a lot of the alcohol. You know, people were drunk from Thursday to Sunday at my school.
But I remember
so
going to visiting him, and he had like 7,000 Papa John boxes and all the empty butter containers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I had a period like that with like in college. We had a couple of pizza boxes like stacked up by the door, and nobody would like take them out at the end of the hall, and it was always Papa John's.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That made a really big impression on me. I don't know why. Like I just Like, I remember the butter thing. I'm like, oh my God, this is so exotic. I've never had Papa John's.
It's like a garlic dipping sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just dump it all over the pizza on top.
Oh, I've never done that. I'm a dipper.
That's what he showed me. And I'm like, oh, we don't have this back.
Well?
In
no, it's right.
We don't have this back in Chicago. There's none of that.
No, this is great. This is high class. Who is this Papa John guy? So the only thing you've committed to is pizza.
Well,
is there a drink, a special drink involved?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to chill out, it's going to be IPA. Yeah.
Okay. So what happens? Here's my worry for you, because you're already 3 hours behind. So, you know, you settle down at 6. There's a 3 hour queue. It's 9 o'clock. You're getting tired because you're old. And you're like, do you give up or do you play that night? Because you've got your pizza, you've got your beer, you're all set up, and you can't even play that night, and you go to bed pissed.
So what is the, because I remember when BFA came out, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I was remoting into my computer and.
Yeah.
So what time can I get into the queue? 6?
Now, here's the deal. If the servers just turn off and then turn back on, the method that you'll want to use is to get in the game early. So for me, I'm going to try to get on around 11 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm going to try to stay on all day.
Play.
And then I'll get kicked off. But because I just got kicked off, I'll have a courtesy minute. And then I'll get right back on in the queue or potentially just get right on, period. So the idea is to get on early
that day.
Well,
that's what I'm going to do then.
Yes.
And I'll order pizza.
Yes.
I'll make sure I have my IPAs on hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you doing food-wise?
Well, I think you've convinced me on the pizza thing, and I think it does have to be a shitty chain. There will be a 2 liter of Coke or Pepsi. There will be I know behind me I have two of everything, and we have Bunch of Crunch, we have Pringles, we have pretzels, like we have a lot of snacks. And then I felt like I had to do it because it's like part of the joke. And these pictures will start popping up in the Reddit, although I haven't seen them yet, like preparing for Shadowlands with pictures.
Yeah.
The shaming will start. And there's always inevitably Hot Pockets. Now, I haven't had a Hot Pocket in ages, but I bought pepperoni Hot Pockets. I kind of feel like it's the joke. It's like almost like you should get Doritos because I know you like them. It's like you need to have a Hot Pockets and Doritos joke.
The thing is, I was going to say Doritos, and all I can think about right now with Doritos is the double XP on the bag for
that's
Call
right
of Duty.
I know. Well, you need to save those for that. I don't like Doritos, so for me I'd rather get something else. But I'm also baking
that's
cookies
the ultimate
that day.
Junk food for me is Doritos. I don't know why.
This is going to be like a bad week. I'm making Pillsbury cookies, which are the quintessential
you're
shitty
going
cooking
extreme
cookies.
I can't eat like that.
What happens? Will you die if you eat like that for a week? What happens?
I really don't eat a lot of junk food. And
well, you don't necessarily have to always. It's like because it's launch week, you know. But if you don't enjoy it.
Just the idea of ordering a pizza to me is crazy talk.
No, that's not how I live. I love food. I'm lucky enough to be able to eat it and not be fat. But
I don't have that.
But I mean, you walk every day now, though.
I know.
So you should be able to get away with more. I walk 5 days a week on my treadmill. So, I mean, I enjoy, I'm a food, I could easily go, like, I love food. Like, it's exciting to me. It's fun to me.
I love food.
But,
a massive foodie, Michelle.
But are you more a mealer instead of a snacker? A lot of people are that way. I think maybe you're that way.
Yeah, I think I'm a mealer.
Yep, I'm
I
not
don't
a mealer
snack as much.
I'm a snacker. I'm a deserter. I don't care about a meal. It could be like the most tasty meal. I'm like, all right, I'll take 2 bites of that. Now, when do we get to the snacking? So that could be why too. So yeah, I'm going overboard with the snacks. I'm not going to eat them all in one day, but I think it's fun to have these stupid things on hand. I'll probably want to die from eating a Hot Pocket. But I need it there, you know, if a couple of days later you're in the middle of something and you need a quick lunch. I mean, you need to have these things on hand. I think it's part of a WoW launch. So I look forward to the shaming moments on Reddit. I can't wait for all the people who are like, I'm eating a kale smoothie. Oh, and then they open up their fridge and there's like 7 kale smoothies lined up for the week. It's like, okay, you can do that every other day of the year. Let's have fun. There's a launch of a game you like. Have some snacks. It's not going to kill you once. So that's kind of how I look at it, just kind of like relive your youth, relive your college days when you were eating Papa John's. Anyway, guys, I think that's it. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing. We appreciate it. You can always check us out at videogameoutsiders.com. We'll be doing more stuff during this Thanksgiving break over on our app on iOS and Android.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe we'll do a little Warcraft update next week. We'll sneak in or something.
Yeah,
a quick one.
We will see what we'll do. I'm going to go do Cooking Outsiders now.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, subscribing, all that. We'll see you very soon.